So it's the Hakdama Sheni for Yom Naram of Sifsei Chen. So it's actually it's a shorter piece, pretty short, but there's a lot of good footnotes here. So let's see what we got. So it starts like this. Yimei Ratzon b'chol shana v'shana b'hagia elu hayamim shal chodesh Elul. So on these days, every year, when we get to these days of Chodesh Elul, there's an awakening above of Ritzon Ha'Elyon, Limchol Avonoseim Shel Bnei Yisrael. So there's this, desire from above to forgive the Jewish people for their sins. So Kevin, now, and so it's interesting, it's like embedded in the time of the year. So Kevin Shabarosh Chodesh Elul Moshe Rabbeinu Alahar Sinai Bepam Hashlishis Achar Matan Torah, since on Rosh Chodesh Elul, we talked about this last time, that Moshe goes up to Har Sinai for the third time after the revelation. So he goes up this third time, the Kabel Haluchos Achronos, to get the second set of Luchos, right? And he's also requesting that we're forgiven for the sin of the golden calf. And so he's there, he's sitting there for 40 days and 40 nights until Yom Kippur. So now, look on the side here on the top left. So he says, Yom HaKippurim. So Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Har Sinai Tekef Achar Matan Torah B'Yom Vav Zayin Sivan. Right, so Moshe, you have Matan Torah, he goes up on the 7th, V'Nishtah HaSham Mem Yom Ad Yud Zayin B'Tamos. Right, so the timeline is, the Torah is given, Moshe goes up and comes down on the 17th of Tamos. But he comes a little late, that's when they make the Egel, Sha'az Nasa HaEgel. So Rashi tells us that the Luchos were broken on the 17th of Tammuz. So on the 18th, Sarafa to Egel, V'dana tachotim. So on the 18th, he takes care of the Egel, he judges the sinners, and on the 19th, Allah Orapam. So he goes up on the 19th of Tammuz up to Har Sinai. And then he's there for 40 days. And he's asking for forgiveness, or at least mercy. And then on the first day of Elul, it says, so he starts the process, goes up again on Rosh Chodesh Elul in order to get the second Luchos. He's there for 40 days. So the first time he goes up, right? That's at Shavuos time. He's there for 40 days. Comes down with the luchos, only to see the chede egel and them dancing around. Breaks the luchos. Second time is Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom Kippur. So Amar Miata Emsaim Hayu Bekas. So now he says the first 30. And the latter 30 are with Ratzon, but the middle ones, but there was anger there, right? V'ba'asara b'tishrei nidratza hakadosh baruch hu liyisrael b'simchu b'leiv shalem. It's on the 10th of Tishrei, which we know as Yom Kippur, that Hashem fully forgave us with happiness and with a full heart. V'amarlo l'moshe v'salach l'kivarecha v'masalo luchos achrona. So it's when Hashem says, I've forgiven like you asked for, and he gave him the second seluchos, v'yarubehitchil etzavoso al meleches ha-mishkan. So that all happens on Yom Kippur. The final, so it culminates with Yom Kippur. V'che'en zeh kasav Rashi gam v'parshas ekev al ha-pasuk v'as napel lifnei Hashem k'rishona arbam yom shenemar v'yata el Hashem ulai achapra ba'osa aliyah nitakavti arbam yom. So when he goes up, he stays there. So he's up there for an additional 40 days in the middle. And Nimsuk Kalim Bechavtet Be'av. So on the 29th of Av is when that period culminates. Shehu Allah B'Yud Ches B'Tamas. So when he, right after the sin of the Egel, He goes up on the 18th of Tammuz, which is interesting, a little bit different. We said earlier he went up on the 19th. Here he's saying on the 18th. Ki b'yom, on the 29th of Av, nitratza kadosh baruch Yisrael, v'amar l'moshe, psalach hashnei luchos. So asa od arbam yom, nimsam kalim b'yom akivim l'chach, hukva l'mechila v'slicha ayin sham. So this is Rashi and Ekev, giving us a little bit of a different timeline, but the basic idea is how, here you have this idea that it was on the 29th of Av, that Hashem tells Moshe, okay, now go and make yourself a second set of luchos. Psalach hashnei luchos avon karishonim. Fine. So now, there might be a difference of how many days there were in that month in between. One of the months, it's a question of whether it was Chasan or Male, would give you the different when exactly he goes up. Does he go up on the 18th or 19th? Okay, fine. Bottom line is, everybody agrees that however you get to the bottom line is that Yom Kippur is the day that Moshe gets the second set of luchos and comes down. And so the crazy thing,
it makes me wonder about Tisha B'Av and all that. Because that whole period, if the period after Shavuos is after the 17th Tammuz is Kas, and then eventually it gets to Rachamim, is the period in between the period of the first half of the month of Av
it's still in the negative, right?
It's still Kas, but maybe a tuba of it softens and then
it definitely is. So it definitely makes a move towards right. Yeah. But from 21 days, right, between Shavuos and Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, right? 21, 22 days. Right? So they're still in the middle of that negative period, right? Which clearly makes sense if you look at historically, it's not a good time, right? So now, which again, but then you say 5 days later, it transitions, or 6 days later, it transitions into the happiest day of the year. But again, because you have that, I don't know, Jordan, if you remember, were you at what's his name? When he got remarried, your next door neighbor.
Tani?
Were you at Tani's second wedding?
Okay. No.
So Tani gets married for the second time, and the rabbi who is Masader Kedushin was the girl's father, who's a rabbi in Boston. And I remember his thing. It was amazing, because he was talking about how they got married in the second part of Av. And he said, what's incredible about the month of Av is that it starts out so bad, and then it transitions to being the happiest month. And he said how this was talking about a second marriage, right? So you're going from this hardship only to shift into something. It was very, very, he's talking more at that time. The rabbi in that case was talking more about his daughter had gone through a very difficult first marriage, whereas Tani, that was just Tani's the most unusual. That was the most unusual. Yeah, I was there and learning with Tani in his house, and she walks in and she says, we're going to get our get today. I'm like, okay. I was like, okay, amazing. All right. Okay, talking about it like a very special person. Okay, either way. Now, but that was this idea of transitioning from Tisha B'Av to Tu B'Av, and the idea that in Av itself we see this move. Okay, now, back to the middle text. Ube'elu hayamim he'ir harotzon ha'alyon l'mchol Yisrael. So on these days, meaning from Rosh Chodesh Elul and on, these 40 days, you have this idea of the Ratzon Ha'alyon, this desire from above, to forgive the Jewish people. And it culminates with Hashem saying to Moshe, I have forgiven like you've asked. So embedded in the time of year, in this time of year, is God's desire to forgive us. Which is pretty unbelievable, right? So you come into El, and we have this, it's like an open, the doors are just open, and it's like, I want to forgive you guys. It's like amazing. So it comes along, he says, you want to know something? This amazing feature was embedded into time even before the world was created. Because we have to understand, going back to the beginning of time, of our understanding of time, is that what precipitated creation was a desire, a simple desire to create the world. right? Listen to this lashon. She'az Allah beretzono hapashat livra ha'olam. So like in the most simple, now when we think simple as being not sophisticated, but like the idea of simplicity here is like, it's just so straightforward and simple in the sense that there's nothing, it's just a big, it's like so pure. It's like an idea of the purity of it. That Hashem had this desire that to create the world. But the truth is, what's interesting is the way the world was created is that the flow from above does not come unless you have an awakening from below. And where do we see this? For example, when the world is standing in wait until Adam is created to daven for the rain. That's the model. So if you want to see Eid Lo'alam in Aretz, until Adam is placed into creation to daven for rain, and then it starts to, the ecosystem starts to take hold. This is the idea of Hashpah L'mal is not going to come without Isaruta Dilatata, with an awakening from below, meaning that that's the way Hashem created the world, that man needs to be involved. So at that point, we weren't even on the scene in order to awaken the by doing good things and etc. But what do we see? What Hashem had in His mind, so to speak, was the idea, the prospect of Yisrael. But he saw the pleasure that he would get in the future from the Jewish people, from Yisrael, doing their avoda for Hashem. So that was enough of an awakening from below in order for God to justify the creation of the world. This is called a ratzon b'li tam. Like, this is the idea of desire without any real. It's like, why do you like this? Why do you love this person? Why do you? You can't even explain it. It's a b'li tam. It has no. We can't even articulate it. But it's there, right?
It's in anticipation. It's like.
Well, it's either that, you can say that, or it's interesting, or even in general, like you have certain you love certain people. You can't really explain it. It's because this. Not really. It's b'li tam. It's a love that is it probably has in its depth some kind of, you can explain it, but it's something that goes much deeper.
Right. It's a crazy love.
Right. It's that love that is the purest in a sense, even though you can't really explain it. You know, it's just what it is. And this is, I guess, the idea of the ratzon b'li tam. Now, meaning. Also, when like we talk about like Allah b'machshava, like there's something that's before any type of chachma, keser elyon, is something that's beyond. But it's that there's a desire, will, that's something that we can't even articulate until it comes down to chachma and to bina and to like ways that we have tools to be able to express these things. But there's something there. What?
I'm sorry. I think my connection was weird for a second.
Oh, okay. Now. Yeah. So the bottom line is that now, going forward, you have this idea of this time of year is always going to be from the beginning of time. And this is embedded in the circle of time, and it returns every year in this month. Right, so we're received, even if we just take upon ourselves that we want to come back. And so this ratzon, this will, was awakened at Rosh Chodesh Elul, after the sin, and they're forgiven even without any real reason. So look at the side here in Dalet. B'li tam, b'divrei chayim, mevayar ha'erot ha'rotzon b'chodesh elul al zeh ha'ofen. So this is how the divrei chayim explains this idea. Sheberosh Hashana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dan kol bo'i olam u'mashgiach aleihem. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, fast forward 30 days, and God judges us, He judges the world, everybody in the world, Kamosha Amar Hakasav Ene Hashem Elokecha Ba Mireishis V'darshu Chachmenu Zal Mireishis Nidon Ma Yeh Besofa. So God is judging Ene Hashem Elokecha Ba Mireishis Hashana Ve'ad Achris, but it's from the beginning, and we explain that the Chachamim explain that Mireishis is basically judging what will be in the end. V'hinei b'vadai shedin zeh b'skira achas k'mo sh'amru chachmenu zal v'kulam niskarim b'skira achas. It's like it's all like in one, you know, fell swoop. V'yadua d'kodem hashkacha hu b'chinas ratzon. So before you have this idea of God's involvement, you have this idea of his desire, his will. Sh'ratzonis baruch shemo yidala l'hashkiach. So that this idea of God's will is that it should come to be, get involved. That before there was any type of creation, there was first this will, the desire. So before God's going to get involved, the first step is his desire for. The idea of his ratzon, his will. His will for. And therefore, it's like you have this idea of prior to the din of the creation, you're going to have his desire to be. V'hinei hagimel rishonos hema mibechinas haratzon kiyadua. So that we know that what? That the first three, meaning of keser, I think, keser chachma and bina, is the idea of ratzon. V'chol achas migimel midos harishonos kalol me'aser, and each one has a 10 associated with each level. So level 1 has 10, next level has a 10, and all of them really have extended out 10. So now, Zehu Halamej Yom Shel Elul. And this is what's symbolized by the 30 days of Elul. V'yadua d'v'ratzon ha'elyon m'hafchin ha'gzeir l'tov. And it's known that it's from this, the will of, from above, that everything is turned to the gzeir is turned to good. It's almost like he's describing like this idea that what's really happening here is that God just wants to give and goodness to his creation. And so when we get to this time of year, which is really the prior to like the creation, so then there's this pure like desire for creation. So miharatzon nitgalen b'midosav yisparach shmo shemanhig b'hem olamo. So it's from that desire that it kind of like then goes into this next phase of God wanting to lead the world. V'hamidos inon rak kifum ovdehon d'bnei nasa d'is tzedek u'mishpat kifum ovdehon. So it's a beautiful idea, this idea that when we say Yehi Ratzon, like Hashem, it should be your will. But like the idea is that we're tapping in on like that soft spot, because when you really let go, like here, when you get into creation, this world was created with an element of din, that like God's going to get involved and like you're going to have strict din. Now, eventually, he said he had to temper it, and therefore, initial creation is all Elokim hardcore stuff. Then it comes Hashem Elokim softens it. But in terms of Hanhagas Olam, God's running the world, it's pretty tight in terms of judgment. But if you go back to the beginning of before that point, it is a Yehi Ratzon, of that God had a desire. And that's a much softer, there's a certain simpler and much more easygoing, in a sense, type of approach. And so that's why it's in a way, like when you say that we're going to the ratzon of God, that the ratzon of God is to always give us the goodness. That's like on that basic level. Fine. So now back to the middle here. V'ine. He'erat ha'ratzon ha'elyon hazot. So this idea of God's will that came before the creation, this is the crown. The aspect of crown is that this precedes everything. It's above. It's like we say the crown sits on the head. It's already above this area, and beyond even like comprehension. But it's from that place that you have the light of the 13 midos of rachamim, of mercy. And so that's why the Anshei Knesset Gedola set up that there should be slichos in Elul, so that we should get in front of this, the day of judgment, right? That we should be able to come in front of it and look for mercy. And that's why we'll say the 13 midos of rachamim, Hashem Hashem kel rachamim lechanan multiple times. So that this idea, which, and if you think about it, right, if we're talking about the world is created either on the 25th of Elul, or the way we celebrate Rosh Hashanah is the sixth day of creation, which is when man was created. But the idea then, the whole of Elul is really this preceding time before creation, which will help us access the idea of Keser, because it's that which comes before. I was focused on the 25th of Elul as the creation of the world, and the first day is the sixth day, which when man was created. That's Rosh Hashanah. And that's the whole idea of God judging us on that day, is that he's saying, okay, I created this thing called man on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and I'm now going to reassess all of humanity, all of man, to see, are you living up to my, you know, what I wanted to get accomplished in creation? So that's where the din comes in. So, but before that, if we're talking about that there was this time, we shouldn't call it a time, but there was a moment of some type of prior to creation, which was keser, beyond comprehension, but it's filled with this idea of God's ratzon, his desire for to have us in this world and to give us goodness. Because that's at the underpinning of the world is olam chesed yibana. Hashem wanted to just give us goodness and to give us tov. And so if that's the power of this time period, therefore, we're going to do this Yid Gimel Midos HaRachamim, which is coming from the Keser. So it's all connected, right? The 13 Midos of Rachamim are connected to Keser, which is all this preceding, this type of, you know, accessing pre-creation. And that there's something very soft and special and Ratzon filled in that period of time. And so we'll go with the Yid Gimel Midos, we'll repeat it over and over again. Kidei L'Arer Otor HaRatzon HaElyon Shal Sfirat Keter HaMeir B'chodesh Hazeh La'atid La'am B'nei Yisrael L'kabel Et Shuvoseihem B'rachim V'ratzon. Right, so we want to really tap into this Ratzon HaElyon of Keser that is really illuminated in this month, which is what he says is the idea of a desiring to give goodness to the B'nei Yisrael, and in order to then in turn receive our tshuva with desire and with mercy. Okay, so now if there's another. Okay, fine. Next, so be'es shemeir haratzon ha'elyon misfirat keter meirin klolos hagimel mochem. So at this time of where you have this illumination or this awakening of the Ratzon HaElyon that's found in the Keser, in the sphere of Keser, which also it illuminates Klolos HaGimel Mochen, Shehem HaSphiros Keter Chachma Bina. So it's also like awakening and illuminating the three, we call it the intellectual spheros, which are again, Keser is beyond comprehension. Chachma Bina is just intellectual. Shekol achas mehem klula me'aser harid lamed. But he was talking about, we mentioned this earlier, that each one of these has, each midah, every sphere has within it an aspect of 10. So Keser has a 10, Chachma has a 10, Bina has a 10. The idea is that when I say 10, it means it has 10 levels. So you get Keser has the 10, going to the next level, which is Chachma, has that aspect of 10, and Bina the same thing. So
like in the sphere of Sahomer, yeah.
They see that it has like you have the different combinations, right? Yeah. No, it's seven.
Oh, because you have seven. No, wait.
Yeah, and the spheres is seven combinations, right? It's each week has
seven and seven,
yeah, right? Seven but seven. Here he's saying that if you look at like when he talked about this in the Hakdama Sefer, that each when you, and this idea that because what are we talking about? Just to go back a step, just to put it in context, when we talk about these things, we're saying that there's a filtering system. There's a light, the light of the Ein Sof, and how does the non-physical God come into this physical reality, and how do we experience it? So the Kabbalistic teachings tell us that it comes through like a system of filtration, like it filters it. You can't look at the sun directly, but if you put like you know different things in between, it can make it maybe you know look you know accessible. So when we talk about this idea of Kesser having 10 and Chachma 10 and Bina 10, is that within that, as the light comes in, it's going to go through 10 levels. And that's the filtering of Kesser, and then Chachma, the same thing, and the same thing goes for Bina. And so now, each one has that aspect of 10, so when you do 10 times 3 is 30. Zehu HaShloshim Yom Shel Chodesh Elul. So he's saying is that there's this move within Elul from Kesser down 10 days, Chachma 10 days, and Bina 10 days, okay? Vihine. HaRishonim Natnu Simon L'Chodesh Elul. Shehuzman Muchan L'Tshuva. So the Rishonim, they gave this, you know, gave us a sign that Chodesh Elul is a time for that's really set up for doing tshuva. And what does it say? Barosh Tevos Hapasuk Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. Right, the first letter of each of those words ends up spelling Elul. V'Sofei Tevos Ole Mem. Now, if you take the last, right, what you see is that there's a yud at the end of each of those words, which equals 40. Kineged Arbam Yomi Rosh Chodesh Elul Ad Yom Kippur. So, because like I guess if you take Elul the beginning, which is Anil Dodi Vilei, the Elul leads us into ultimately the period of Yom Kippur. Ki be'elu arba'im yom hatshuva mikubelas biyoter, because those 40 days are totally open for doing tshuva. Biyos libo shel adam karov el dodo habetshuva, because our hearts are close to our beloved to do tshuva. V'gam dodo karov lo lekabel tshuva someava, and so too our lover Hashem is close to us to receive our tshuva from love within the aspect of love. V'sefet dekra haroa b'shoshanim miram izlan dekamo hashoshana yesh ba yigimel alim kein yesh lechodesh elol haroa mihayigimel midos shel rachamim shu or haratzon ha'elyon hamitgala lamata b'chodesh hazeh. So at the I guess anil dodi v'dodi li. At the end of that is Haroeh B'Shoshanim, right? So if you look up Shir Shirim Vav Gimel, right? So the Haroeh B'Shoshanim, the idea of like Roeh B'Shoshanim is Shoshanim is the rose, right? So a rose, it has 13, is it petals?
Yeah, or leaves.
Leaves or petals, right? Okay, more leaves, I guess. Right? But the 13, did you ever see that? There's a book called The 13. What?
Yeah, you're right. You were right. Petals.
Petals, but it's a 13. Yeah. You ever see that book? There's a 13 petaled rose.
Yeah.
By Steinsaltz. I think Steinsaltz, right? So it's talking about that. It's referencing this. Yeah. So this idea of that. So Anila Dodi Dodi Li, talking about the idea that we are to our beloved is to us, is that this close relationship we have with Hashem, that we're walking through the rose garden, and the rose garden is the idea of this the 13. So that, so too on Chodesh Elul, this idea of the Yud Gimel Midos Sharachman Shor HaRotzon HaAlyon HaMitgalam Ata B'Chodesh Hazeh. So that is connected to this idea of the light of the Rotzon HaAlyon that is revealed in our world in this month. So fine. So now, it's very interesting. How exactly does one count the Yud Gimel Midos Sharachman? Do you go Hashem Hashem, 1, 2, Kel, Racham, Lachanan, and Chule, or do you not start there? You start actually with Hashem Hashem has nothing to do with the Yigimel Midos, and then the first one is Kel, and then Racham, Chanan. Okay, a friend of mine wrote an article about this. There are multiple opinions as to how you count the Yigimel Midos, because if you're going to say Hashem Hashem is 1 and 2, so then you're going to group the latter ones. The point is, everyone knows it's 13. Question is, how do you get to the 13? So here he's going to say that Hashem Hashem is not counted. We're going to count it with the way he is approaching here. So let's see. Moshe says it after the breaking of the tablets. So he says the 13 midos harachamim in order to awaken God's desire after the sin of the calf, of the golden calf. Now, what are these yegim midos? So here he goes. Ve'eluhin kel, racham, chanan, Erech, Apayim, Virav Chesed, V'emes, Notzer Chesed, Lalafim, Nosi Avon, V'fesha, V'chata, V'nake. Many times, if you see that they'll count Hashem Hashem in the mix, then they'll group, let's say, Erech Apayim together. The idea that Erech and Apayim is separate is kind of funny, because normally you would see Erech Apayim, he's like slow to get angry. So, fine. Now, if you look over here, Look at Os Yud, just for a second. It's just an interesting idea. Shel Rachamim, he says, Hatam sheyesh b'keter daika yud gimel midos lepochas liyoter. So the fact that in Keser has 13 midos, not more, not less, mevur ba'adra zutra, mishum debemolchen ha'ayonim, nechalu ha'gimel rishonos, keter chachma bina. Fine. So in the upper mochen, we talked about the idea of the intellectual higher level, you have the first three, which is Keser, Chachma, Bina. U'b'chol echad mehem meir Hashem havoya baruch hu, sheyesh ba dalet osio. So in there, you have the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei awakened or expressed in those three. And each one of Yud Kei Vav Kei has four letters. So if you then take v'gimel pamim dalet hare yud beis, v'im or ha'atika, the ein sof ba'atzma hare yud gimel. So really, like he's saying, Keser, Chachma, Bina, each one has a Shem Hashem equals to four, right? Yud Kei Vav Kei, four, times three is 12. And then above that is the Ein Sof, which is, and that together, that makes you 13. Okay, so what it's telling us is that there's some kind of deeper understanding as to where the Yud Gimel, where we get that 13 number from, okay? Now, another interesting thing here, the Shviros Haluchos. Look at this Yud Aleph one. The breaking of the tablets. Ma shenitgalu ha-yud gimel midos ha-yonos dafka b'yam nemuchim achar achet. Think about this. The highest, most powerful thing that's revealed to us, the Yud gimel midos of Rachamim, when does it come after a sin? The worst sin of pretty much that we did as a nation. So the Bnei Yisachar explains, "Mavar haBnei Yisachar deBizmane bin haMitzarim asher haShchina haKadoshi beHester panim kaviyachol." So now the 13 we talked about the 3 weeks. So during the 3 weeks where we have the most concealed, the biggest concealment of God, so to speak, Nimsam oros gedolos veKadoshos biyoter rak shehim bitkasya. The greatest powerful kedusha that exists is there in the 3 weeks. It's just that it's hidden. Ki kol davar yakar v'chashov, yesh lo mekifin u'mechitzas l'hastira me'ein kol. Anything that's precious and important has things surrounding it and protecting it from anybody to see it. V'lachein nitgalu elu hayid gomilas bizman hester panim achar shvir saluchos b'chir egal shayta b'yom yudzayim b'talas. So the most holy thing that we have was revealed specifically at the darkest time because it's so powerful, it needed to be covered, so it's revealed at the heart, at the darkest time. When we Yitzayim B'Tammuz Ad Rosh Chodesh Av Yesh Gimel Yamim, so from the 17th of Tammuz until Rosh Chodesh Av, you have 13 days. When we Hem Ganos Mechusa Elo Yid Gimel Mil Sharachim Negel Yid Gimel Yamim Shal Chodesh Tammuz. So you know where they're hidden? In the last 13 days of Tammuz. K'mochein b'chet ha-meraglim shebachu b'chia shalchina b'leil tet b'av. So too, when it comes to when the meraglim came back and they cried that night on Tisha B'av, b'hem ganoz mechusa elu ha-tet midos de zer neged ha-tet yamim shal chodesh av. So this idea, I guess, of there's some kind of nine midos of that of the Ze'er that are also connected those 9 days of Av. But the idea is that you see that the darkest hour is when the holiest thing is there, and it has to be embedded there because it needs to be covered because it's so precious. It's kind of a wild way of looking at it. Okay, so now, back to this. So we had this, just, okay, one other little, this footnote over here. So he talks about this idea that the first Hashem Hashems are not counted. Yud Beis, v'nakei al shtei Hashemos shem posuk hazeh, Hashem Hashem bi'er ha-gemara, anihu kodem sheyechta ha-adam, v'anihu alacha sheyechta amyasa tshuva. So when Hashem refers to himself, the Gemara explains that the first Hashem is me before you sinned, and the second me, ani, is after man sins, and he's going to do tshuva. And then it goes on, Kel, Racham, Mechanan, Amar, Rabbi Yehuda, Beris, Krusel, Shlosha, Sremidos, Halalosh, Enon, Chosrin, Rekam. There's a special thing that says that these never go back. They always come back. They don't come back unfulfilled. Fine. Now, here's what he says. V'ofen cheshbon ha-yigim al-midos b'pasuk. Rabu ha-deos b'hane rabusa. There's many different opinions as to how you count these 13. Ha-ga-onim, Rishonim, Vachronim, Bale Kabbalah, Kulam, Heru, Panim, Lakan, Lakan. There are a million different opinions. Lo Eta Sefpo. It's not the place for him to summarize that. Bibene Sasr Kasav, I am a Tosva Rosh Vashar Rishonim. Sham Nidburu, Yirei Hashem, Mehechan Hatchalas Yid Gimel Midos. Where does it start from? When do you start to count? Omen Hashem Havoya Harishon, Omen Hasheni, Aval Alpi Hazor Kodosh, Vikosav, Vikisvi Maran Harizal, Shtei Shemos. Hashemos einam mimanim hayid gimel minos. Miminyan hayid gimel minos. According to the Kabbalistic approach of the Zohar and the Ari, Zal, is that the two names of Hashem do not get counted. Rak hayid gimel minos matchilin min Hashem kel. Umachiyach melashon Rashi dikein hugam mashmos lashon Gemara v'Rosh Hashanah. So too that Gemara that we quote in Rosh Hashanah, it sounds like we're saying that the first two names of Hashem are not included. And then he goes on and he says, if you really want a good summary, there's a book that talks about it, which I don't know how to find that book, but it's an interesting thing about the fact that it's not straightforward as to how exactly you calculate the Yid Gimel Midos. Fine. Back to the last line in the middle. Vine Hema. So now, these Yud Gimel Midos are the Sinoros Lashpil Olam Shech Shefer Rav Mehaor Ein Sof Baruch Hu Aidei HaKeser Olyon Ad Lamata Letzorach Achiyot Shel Kol HaAlamos. So these Yud Gimel Midos are like the pipes. They're the conduits in order to allow for the Hashpa to come into the world from the source of the Ein Sof, Mehaor Ein Sof Baruch Hu Aidei HaKeser Olyon Ad Lamata Letzorach Achiyot Shel Kol HaAlamos. So this is what we were discussing, this description of, you have the supernal light, you have God and the Ein Sof, and means like the endless God, like we can't even comprehend, and now it's going to bring into this world that energy that's going to the flow, that's going to bring us all the blessing and everything that is existence. So you see that this, he's saying now that the Yud Gimel Midos that we're talking about here are the pipes and the conduits to allow for the Shefa to come into the world. So now, v'hamidos halalu nikram b'shem yud gimel tikune dikna kadisha. So now, the analogy is to the beard. You see, you're stroking your beard over there. So that now we're talking about the analogy of how this flow comes in is analogous to the face and how the beard flows. Why? L'fisha adam hu dugma le'el yonim k'moshakasu mibisuri achze aloka. So the idea that it's explained is that you can look at the human being and you can see from the physical human being what it looks like in the spiritual realms. From my body, I can see God. So like if you look at the human being, you study his body and how everything works, you can see, you can understand aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'kmo sheyesh ba'adam sa'arot hazakan, so like by a person, his hair, the hairs that come out of his face, they're like the dew, so to speak, or the that which comes out from the innermost of the person's mind. and that it's now revealed outside. Kimochin gam elu hayigim amida sharachamim heim harav mipnimis haratzon shal kadosh baruch hu kaviyachol. So the Yudgim Amidos are really an expression from the deepest place of God's will. We see that it starts from Keser, which again is a beyond our comprehension. So it's coming from a place of loftiness and then comes in. And so it's from this, through the Yudgim Amidos, that you have this revelation of into the lower worlds. And this is an expression of great mercy, of complete mercy, without any type of limitation, even for those who are not really prepared for it. And that's why the analogy is given to the Yigil Midos are equated to different parts of the face of where the beard comes. And so when Hashem is acting in this way, in these Midos, so if all the Yudgim Midos are activated, it's like the idea of the beard, like the different parts that come out. And he goes through here on the side. You can see tikkun this, tikkun that. So it's pretty much a very strong affirmation for a person having a beard. But he does say, like, it's interesting. He says here, Hamgaleach zikno eno zocha l'Torah. If you see on the bottom left, you see that one? It's like pretty, well, it's like if you're a person who gets rid of, who shaves his beard, he's not going to be zocha to Torah, because if we're saying that these are the portals that are, you know, analogous to like the idea of the flow from above, so, you know, you can take it to the next step and say, therefore, it's, you know, a person's having a beard, and that will be related to how their ability to experience the flow from above. To make you feel better, the Ramchal, one of the greatest of all Kabbalists of all time, the Italian Kabbalists were all clean shaven. So those are big shoulders to be on. So I think we're okay on that, but so be it. So now, now, the Yudgim Amidos have really two aspects. Because this is interesting. You have what we just say, Hashem Hashem Kel Racham Lechanun. And where else do we have the Yudgim Amidos? When we go to Tashlech, we say, from Micha, we say, Mi Kel Chamocha, right? Mi El Chamocha. That's another aspect, that's another way of looking at and understanding the same Yudgim Amidos. And actually, we have the Tomer Devora, right, which was written by the Ramak, which really is all talking about the idea of emulating God through, like, the just like God is merciful, so too we should be. But he takes the Mi'al Kamocha and he learns the Yigim Midos from that, as opposed to the one that we have in the Torah. In the Torah, meaning the story of the Chet Egel. So now, here he says like this: Yigim Midos Sh'amar Moshe Rabbeinu Kinis Karleil. So the Yudgim Midos that came with Moshe, they are the pipes, the conduits from the external, and then all the and mehem from there, all of the blessing gosh in the physical realm, right, are coming in. Whereas the Yudgim Amidos Sh'amran Micha Hamatchilim Mikel Kamocha Shenogon Lomar Be'ez Amiras Tashlech Ve'ein Hema Hashefa Hapnimi Sheyer B'toch Elu Hatzinaros U'mihem Nishba Or Ruchani Lachios Es Neshamos Shaklai Yisrael Lezakos L'tshuva Ilah. It's more of a spiritual type of thing. So as where the Yudgim Amidos of Moshe are really addressing more of a physical reality, and that, you know, bringing the goodness for that. When it comes to the one from Micha, it's actually opening up the gateways, the pathways for the more spiritual aspect, which is kind of an interesting. It's like a different. So you have you need both. You need the Yigyon Midos of Moshe, Hashem Hashem Kel Racham Achanan, which is more towards the physical, and then you have the Yigyon Midos of Micha, which are more towards a person's spiritual side. Okay. Like, and he says here on the side here, This is completely spiritual. You're addressing the spiritual side. Whereas the Yigyon Midas of Moshe, Heim Chai HaGuf. Because what we were talking about is God wanted to literally destroy us physically. And Moshe Dam and Shekol Yisrael Yisharu B'chayim. And that's why the Yigyon Midas of Rachamim that Moshe brought down, purely about a physical reality. Whereas the Yigyon Midas of Micha, Heim Al Chai HaNeshama. Shaf HaNeshama Shiva V'chinas Meis. Right, so you see this idea that the Micha ones are really, they're addressing a spiritual issue. So you have like, we're going after both. It's not enough, but it's interesting that the one with Moshe, it's like when it comes to like Purim, we're attacked on a physical plane. Haman just wanted to kill us all. And so we get very into the physical rejoicing. Whereas Chanukah is more of a spiritual attack, and so it's not really into, like, the party thing is kind of a second, like, it's not the ikkar of a Chanukah, it's more about the spiritual salvation there. So you have this similar thing here, you have the Yigyon Midas of Rachamim of Moshe, which was addressing the fact that God wanted to physically destroy the Jewish people. And so that's addressing that issue, and then when it comes to Micha, it's actually addressing the spiritual side. Now, Kasher b'nei Yisrael omim b'peh v'yavor v'yid gimel midos v'yachad, right, v'yavor Hashem v'alpanov v'yikra, and then we say the yid gimel midos v'yachad im ha-shliach tzibor v'atifa, and we say that with the shliach tzibor we are wrapped azayim orin lamata b'olam hazeh et ha-yid gimel midos shal rachamim. So then we're awakening those yid gimel midos v'neftachin l'mala ha-tzinor shal yid gimel tikuni dikna. So you see this idea that when we say the Yigyon Midos of Moshe, we're opening up these pathways and of the external aspect. But to be able to get a shefa, the influence, and to be able to bring illumination, to bring that shefa below of chesed and rachmim for all the needs on our physical plane, and then the pnimios, like the spiritual, the inner side, right, from the shefa or agadol shel ha'yigyon midos der micha, is coming to talk about our needs from a spiritual perspective as well. Because again, we're being fed from both. We need to be fed for the shefa has to come to give us the physical vitality, and we also have to have the shefa to give our spiritual side as well. So now, v'lachin, nagin lomar b'chol yom achar tefilas shachris v'tilitz mincha ha-mizmor le-david Hashem ori. How many times does it say Hashem Hashem in Yigimel, and sorry, in the le-david Hashem ori? 13 times. You have Shem Yudkei Vavkei. So we didn't realize this, but when you're saying L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishi M'Mi'ira, you're actually saying God's name 13 times. She'yesh bo ha'gid gimel shemos havaya k'neged ha'yid gimel midos shel rachamim v'ha'omer v'kavana, and a person says it with kavana ma'orer ha'yid gimel midos shel rachamim v'zeh muftach lo she'yivutlu me'elav kol gzeres kashos v'ros. So then if a person says it with the proper intent, he's for sure promised that what? That he'll have all the negative and difficulties reversed. And that he'll come out with a positive judgment, that he'll have a good year, and a sweet, pleasant year. Okay. Fine. So now, v'neya du asher yid gimel midos shel rachamim heim neged yud beis chadshei hashana. So now, how does that work? How many months are there in a year? 12. But this year, as an example, we're going to have 13. Right. So he puts in there. We know that the yid gimel midos are parallel to the 12 months of the year with the leap year, the extra month. L'fize chodesh evel hu bebechinas berav chesed. So if I'm going to line it up against the Yigyon Midos, so then I'll have Rav Chesed for Elul, The Chodesh Tishrei is Bechinas Ve'emes. The Chain B'yib Gimel Mida Shal Micha. It's Mechuvan Ki Chafetz Chesed Hu. Neged Chodesh Elul. So what do we have? The first one is V'rav Chesed. And the Micha version has Ki Chafetz Chesed Hu. So you see that it's all about Chesed. And then V'yashuv Yerachameinu L'Chodesh Tishrei. So Yeshu Yerachameinu, he'll come back and he'll forgive us or have rachmas, which is in the other set, the first set it was ve'emes. Okay, now what this tells us v'zemor asher b'chodesh elul meir or hachesed bolam. This idea that we see is that you have this idea of chesed being illuminated in the world, the light of chesed. Masha'in came b'rosh hashanah shu b'tishrei kfar sholid midas ve'emes shu midas adin. So we go from chesed into that more strict emes, which is the idea of din. So before things start getting serious and tight with the idea of judgment coming, we have this opening of El, which has chesed. So we should take advantage of it. So if we work the softness, so to speak, or the easier time of Elul, then when we get to Tishrei, where things start getting a little more serious with Emes being at play in Din, so if we use Elul to get us to the Tishrei, we're going to be in a much better place. So now it's interesting. What about in terms of what month it is in the cycle? So Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz of Elul. So Elul is the sixth month, which is what Keneged Yisod, the sixth sphera. Srichim lasas bo hachanam deraba lechodesh Tishrei shehu chodesh hashvi shehu bechinas malchus. So we have to get ready for use Elul as the preparatory for, because when we get to Tishrei, the seventh month, that's already Malchus. V'nase Yichud Yisod v'Malchus. So what we're trying to do is bring them together. V'nase Yichud Yisod v'Malchus l'harid l'milamala hashbos kol tov. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring Yisod together with Malchus to bring from above the idea of hashbava, this flow of all good. V'chol hanhagas v'hashba v'chodesh hashvi tluya. So it's all based, everything that we're going to get in the seventh month is really based on what we do in the sixth month. Like it says, those who prepare on Erev Shabbos are going to be able to eat on Shabbos. So the more that we do to strengthen ourselves in our avodah, to get connected to God in Chodesh Elul, can yiske v'yoter b'yimei hadin b'rosh Hashanah of Yom HaKippurin. So the more preparatory work that we do in Chodesh Elul, then that much more so, which will we be zoche to have good judgment for a good new year, for Yom Kippur, to be signed and sealed in the books of Tzadikim Gemurin, to have a sweet and good new year. Right? So you see that the takeaway is he's saying that Elul has this like soft, underpinning that is there and open based on just the historical going back to the beginning of time, that the way this thing all came together in terms of creation is that Hashem's Ratzon was at play during this time, and embedded into the time of year forever, you'll have this midah of the Ratzon Elyon that's there to be awakened. And so whereas when we get to Tishrei, it's like it's like Din is now all that, it's almost like harshness, but there's a certain severity to it. So if we come to the table by taking advantage of the softness of Elul and the Ratzon that's at play, because it's much more apropos. Not to say that, again, we say that the 10 days of Aser Simechuva are Yimei Ratzon also. We say, Karobus Biyoso Karob, that Hashem is very close to us, but it's a little bit more serious. There's a certain element of Din that's out there also that makes it, you know, like as much as our parents love us, but, you know, did we do what's right or not, we're going to be judged. So Hashem is like, there's a Din is Din, you can't get around it. But when it comes to Elul, and, you know, so we're entering into a softer, we're in that area of time where it's much softer and easier going, But all we need to do is like come forward and want to be, you know, get back to connecting with Hashem. The time is ripe for that. And then if we go from there, then as we enter into the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur period, using that preparatory, you know, time period properly, then it will lead us into a much more productive and more you know, positive Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur season. So hopefully we should all be zocha to that, but you see this idea, it's an amazing thing that the Yidgim Lomidos HaRachamim, they are so powerful. They're coming from the deepest place, so that also, like, you know, be able to, like, you know, even though we say it over and over again, we don't even think of what we're saying, but in there, there's such a deep, like, sometimes I think we're certain areas that we can just say things, and even if we're not even concentrating or understanding completely what it is, but it's coming from such a powerful place that just going through that process is going to open up the gateways, the pathways, these we call the sinaros, the pipes that are going to be able to bring the flow into our world, into our lives, to bring us blessing and goodness. So it's again another very powerful tool that comes with the way he's describing it. It's a very very deep, very Kabbalistically deep, you know, beginning point, let's put it that way. And so we should be zocha to, you know, tap into these incredible, powerful energies that are available to us. And with that, God should bless us. We should all have a sweet and happy and healthy new year. All right.
Amen. Very nice.
Amen.
Right. I got to pay attention to Micha at Tashlich.
I know, right? It's like, well, that, but if you take out the Toma Devorah, do you ever look at the Toma Devorah?
No.
It's beautiful. It's like very apropos for this time of year by the Ramak. It's like very straightforward. It's a very, and they're good English translations as well. Highly recommend it. If you never read it, it's like a must read for, you know, you want something to read in Shul and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur when you like, you need that little break. Toma Devorah. It's a very, very solid, important sefer to read, especially at this time of year. All right.
Good night, good morning.
Yeah, I know, right? Time to go to sleep. All right, guys.